trouble, see I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are talking about Pregnant Women Are Unpredictable. It is Season 2, Episode 11, aired December 15th, 1952. It was directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed October 10th, 1952. And the basic synopsis of this story is that Lucy... There's a few things going on. One is Lucy's trying to come up with a name for the baby that she doesn't know if it's a boy or girl yet. And then she also starts to realize that Ricky is giving her a lot of attention, but only since she became pregnant. And so she thinks that he only loves the baby. And we'll see how his attempts to try to rectify that just backfire on him immensely. So
he's maneuvering around these ever-changing feelings that are happening.
Yeah, but to be fair, there's one time, and we'll talk about it, where he's like, I don't understand why she's like this. And it's like, it's very obvious why she said what she said. But we'll discuss that when we get there. You start.
So we open up the show, and she's, you know, she has no... What caught my attention here is... Now, I realize this is in real time. Her pregnancy is much further along than what the show is showing. You know, they needed to get to a certain point in her pregnancy to even introduce the story to the audience. But from last episode, where Lucy is enceinte or enceinte, pregnant, to now, there's a big body difference and clothing difference because, you know, for one, she doesn't have to hide it.
Right.
And for two, it just feels like, just like any pregnant girl, from one minute to the next, your body just like, whoa, where'd that come from? It just like, she just grew. But it must be so relieving too, to just put it out there for the world to see and not have to hide it. Yeah. She has a baby doll. She's practicing with said baby doll.
So awful. From the moment she starts. I mean, she picks it up right with one hand. I was like, are you going to do from that moment to take the child's clothes off? I was like, well, you failed.
You know, that reminds me of, I don't know if they did in your high school, and I've seen it done in various schools where they send, you know, teenagers to kind of deter them from, you know, not having babies or what babies are going to be like, to send them home with a doll and to take care of it. And it reports back to, you know, the instructor as to how it was taken care of. When you have a doll, of course, your mind automatically changes to that. Your mind knows that it's a doll. So if Lucy had a real baby in her hand, she certainly wouldn't be dangling it by a by a foot.
Well, you know, we hope not.
But because it's a doll, your mind just automatically treats it as such, don't you think?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like if I had it to practice, then I would be trying to practice. But, you know, I did read an article. Maybe I can post it if anyone's interested. I don't know. Mm-hmm. About giving of baby dolls to teen women to discourage pregnancies actually encourages it. They were giving it, you know, for a day to two to expose them to challenges of parenting. The first randomized trials with the dolls say that they might do the exact opposite. They actually increase pregnancy rates in schools where they're used.
So the study shows that instead of kids scaring from it, they more like, oh, I can handle this.
Yeah. So I guess, so it says that the simulators, that they found that the program had really no effect on the students' knowledge levels of pregnancy, right? But they focused almost exclusively on students' expressed intent on becoming a parent rather than the pregnancy outcomes. So, like, they thought, you know, they got this doll and it's like, wow, I'd really like to have a child.
Yeah, so that's what she kind of has, a book on parenting that she's also kind of following along as she's... She has the doll in one hand, putting powder on it, just making a whole mess of it.
Squeezing it. What, she dunks him in the water? Oh my goodness.
Head first.
There was one time where Apollo, like, full on face planted into the water. and it was super scary. But this is like when he was like one and a half, so it wasn't. Yeah. And I was right there, but
you weren't still, dangling him from his foot.
I wasn't dangling.
No,
him.
No, you weren't.
She literally was holding the baby doll underwater too. Like I wasn't doing that. So there's that. But anyways, you know what I wrote on here? I was like, did she think that went well for her? Because at the end, she's like
proud of herself.
Starts doing the coochie coochie coos and it was like you just banged this baby up, ground it, squeezed it, and now you're giving it some love. Like,
I mean,
no.
Listen, think about the concept. This is, could be again a whole other parenting podcast, but you're given a human thing to take care of at home, and you know you could read all the books in the world, but nothing prepares you until actually doing it. So it's just quite funny to see that. So Ricky comes in, and of course he's a nighttime entertainer, so he's kind of like, what are you doing up this late? You know, she couldn't sleep. She wanted to practice, you know, with the baby.
Torturing the baby.
And, you know, he states that it's after 2 a.m. And, you know, she's like, well, we have to be prepared, and as do you. And I think during, you know, pregnancy could probably feel simultaneously long, like it's never ending, and very short, like if we don't learn how to do it, the baby will be here tomorrow, we still don't know what to do, or we don't have enough stuff. So it's a mind,
you know,
tornado happening when you're pregnant. Like I mentioned, she had a book, it was titled Infant Care, and she was, you know, practicing and bathing, diapering the doll, and then they start the discussion, which is hilarious, of the names of the babies. And she starts with Greg and Joanne, which are two of Lucy's, you know, the choices that she made first, and the names of producers and head writer Jess Oppenheimer's children, which I love that the nod of all these familiar names are always included in some episode here. And then the names Robert and Madeline, later they'll say that, were chosen for Bob Carroll and Madeline Pugh. And the list of the other ones that went down were Scott or Pamela, Philip or Cynthia, Morris. Yeah, John or Mary, which is great, and then Romeo or Juliet. And then Pierpont or Sharon. What?
Don't know.
And like you mentioned, their sponsor was, of course, you know, Philip if it's a boy and Morris if it's a girl, because of course the sponsor at the time, they had to somehow put it in there, and there it was.
As he's smoking the cigarette too,
around the pregnant woman, by the way, yeah. Just FYI, well, yeah. Let's just throw that in there.
Before we move on, because we're going to not see this baby doll ever again. So I did want to mention that, not ever again, I don't know. I'm just saying in this episode, we don't see this baby doll again, I don't think.
Right.
So before someone calls me out.
What happened?
There actually was a baby doll that you could buy. Mm-hmm. The American Character Doll Company had an I Love Lucy infant doll, and it was non-gendered because they didn't know the gender of the baby.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is pretty cool. I did like a quick search, and to see if like you can buy one.
They were like $10 at the time.
Yeah, they weren't very expensive. You know, they have, so this is really weird. I'm just going to say that I just now looked up like I Love Lucy infant baby dolls, and there's Lucy as her many characters as a baby doll, which I think is kind of, so like Lucy in her iconic dress as a baby doll, or like Lucy as Santa Claus as a baby doll.
Yeah, what I love is, this is one of my favorite lines is, you know, I just want the names to be unique and euphonious. It's just a clever line after that. Okay, unique if it's a boy and euphonious if it's a girl. And, you know, I always thought that was a very clever line that they threw in there.
It is.
And what's hilarious about this entire scene with the names and throughout the whole episode with the names, just to circle back and name him Ricky Ricardo Jr.
Right? So simple. And I love that Ricky really doesn't care.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't care at all.
That journey to picking names is always so fascinating because, I mean, it could be something so simple as an old friend, a family member's, namesake. I just heard it on
Random.
TV.
Yeah,
It's a favorite color of mine. It's just so fascinating.
people ask if we had like something specific that we named him after. No.
Heard it on a
And I remember
podcast.
my somebody, I won't say somebody in my family, when they heard in on my husband's side of the family, when they heard what we were naming Apollo, they just looked at me and went, "Really?" I went,
Yeah,
"Yes." "Yes, really?"
you haven't seen them since.
Let's edit this out. It was his mom.
Okay. Oh.
So grandma has said that.
Grandma. Make a mental note of editing that out.
Write that down, please. And
Okay.
edit out grandma, please.
So yeah, they end up at the end, that long journey, the scenic
Well,
route to just
they
add a
went,
junior at the end of it.
yes, but they went to bed at the end of this scene with John and Mary,
John and Mary, yes.
which are very simple names.
Biblical
Great.
names, some might say.
Yeah. See
And
Mariska. See
there you
Mary.
go. And so, of course,
But
she's like, I'll get some rest after I make you breakfast, because he's telling her you need to get
oh, yeah,
rest.
he
He's
woke up.
very big on the resting because she's in her state.
Yes, and
The thought is there.
the
It's
thought is
never,
there.
it's not accomplished, but the thought is there. So he says, you don't have to get up to make my breakfast. I'll make your breakfast, which sounds, I think you and I have
So
had this
nice.
discussion before when they won the bet with the milkman thing. I'm not a big fan of breakfast in bed. To me, make my breakfast, please. But the whole crumbs perhaps in the bed and potentially spilling and my back sitting up again. No, I'm okay. But that's what he, offers to her. You're pregnant with my child. So, I'll make you breakfast in bed, which starts the point that she was making. You're only being nice because of this baby. Why haven't you made me breakfast in
Ever
bed
made me breakfast in
if it
bed before?
wasn't attached to a winning of a bet or
Right?
a pregnancy? So here's where she starts to rack up all those points that she's talking about. So that's very exciting for her that he's going to make waffles, which he could have picked
Which
something
she says,
simple.
well, no,
That's
it is simple. She says, "That's too much work." And he goes, "It's okay for you." It's not that much work because, as we see later, he uses a mix. All he needs to do is put eggs and milk, maybe a little bit of oil, I don't know, and then put it in the
See, she knew her husband
iron,
had never
whatever,
made
and then
breakfast.
voila.
So she could have just said, how about some cereal?
Right? Or
Just get me
please make
some.
me eat some toast. Can do toast.
Pop the toast in that toaster of theirs.
So yes, he goes, and it's a great gesture. He says, "Stay in bed, get some rest," and then she puts her hands behind their head, settles in for a nice, comfy morning. And what does she hear but Ricky calling out?
Lucy!
Yes, exactly. Asking where
Yeah.
the iron is,
Where's the waffle
waffle
iron?
iron.
Yeah. And she's like, it's right there at a certain place. And he's like, I can't find it.
It's not there.
That poor girl has to get up, her big, big old belly, get out of bed. And now she was ready to do it anyway. But
Right.
then her whole body and mind shifted to, I'm going to rest because it was offered, for goodness sakes. So she
And
goes
now,
over to, okay, and now he thinks he plugged in the coffee maker. He did not. He plugged in the waffle iron. Now
and then
there's
put
smoke everywhere. And the
the paper on
newspaper.
top of it. Oh, listen, because of Paper Moon pointed out when we were, his name's Michael,
Yeah, same type paper
but
moon.
I feel like if I say Paper Moon, people understand a little bit more of what I'm saying.
We're referring
So
to.
when we had our conversation with him, he talked about, pointing out all the like little things. And then, I mentioned how much I love that.
Like
So one of the
dishes.
things that you see, yes, dishes is one of them, is a three, like salt, pepper, and oh, what is it?
Accent.
Accent. And so that got me thinking because accent is mostly MSG. And I got to thinking, why do Americans hate MSG so much? because from what I can tell, it's not all that bad. So, ready for a little deep dive, little one?
Deep dive to the MSG.
All right. So, on April 4th, 1965, an engineer, biomedical researcher, he wrote a letter that kind of explained a bit about the symptoms and this strange illness that he got after going to a Chinese restaurant and eating food with MSG in it. And this really kind of kicked off America's, the United States' first food, like health conscious, worried about food. So, you know how nowadays there's like, grains, horrible, carbs, cut them out. Mm-hmm. This was like the first one of those. And that, you know, went and said that there was so much stuff are bad for you, really.
Yeah.
But it says that, you know, they did research and basically most of it is misplaced. It's a natural thing. You know, you can find it in seaweed, soy sauce, things like that. That's why it helps in Asian cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Really, all it does is kind of boosts the flavor of whatever it is. It doesn't add much of its own.
Mm-hmm.
It just boosts it. And so really, from what researchers can see, there's no real problem with it. There's no consequences of eating it. And people have just stopped in the United States because of that one person. It's like when, you know, people nowadays post something on the internet and it blows up and it's just all wrong facts. And then a bunch of people are spewing the same wrong facts.
Yeah.
Because of that one person. And it's kind of like that. So it's interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I can post that. It was a Washington Post article that I read that on. So
that was one of the shakers that he had sitting there on the counter.
Yes. Yep. All Excellent. Of that to say there were three, which I think is pretty cool. But
so then she, you know, finds the waffle iron for him because it's smoking underneath the newspaper thing. Okay. Yeah. So he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And
go back to bed.
You know, I got and it from does. Here.
Yeah. She makes it back to bed once. Right. I don't know why she thought
that was going to be the end of it.
Right.
Yeah, so she's, you know, she's going, fine, okay, it happens. You can't find it, got it. So she goes back to bed, and
Lucy. As soon as she gets the covers over, you know how, like, you curl up in your bed and you start to get comfortable? As soon as that happens, he calls out again.
Mm-hmm.
He can't find the pancake mix, Aunt Jemima's pancake mix, which is now, I think we talked about this, because Aunt Jemima has a syrup,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Oh, so it's now the Pearl Mill Company.
Mm-hmm. And but, back then, of course, it was right when its inception was during that time. And it was the Aunt Jemima pancake and waffle mix. And he couldn't find it. The reason he couldn't find it is because he's holding the darn
thing
behind his back as he's searching through the, just insane. Poor girl. So she comes in and he's like, it was inside there, it was around there. She starts to step on a stool and he's like, don't do that, I'll do it. And he's like, it's right there. How did you do that? Magic, she says.
Magic. I used my eyeballs.
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of when you have a child, you'll learn this later on when Apollo gets older, when your kids can't find something, you will always find the thing. And it's just magical how moms and dads can find certain things that are missing. She's exhausted at this point with the back and forth. And she, you know, she says, Ricky, do me a favor. Don't cook me breakfast this morning. I don't have the strength. I'm not strong enough, you know. And he's just like, he's baffled as to why she all of a sudden does not want it, you know, the breakfast. And she's just like, this is twice the amount of work if I would have just gotten up myself to do it. You know,
because exactly.
There's no rest
happening.
Now you have
to walk back and forth, right?
And he's thinking that she's, sleeping?
Just being pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And so Fred comes in and he's baffled as to why she doesn't want these waffles. And he explains as much to Fred. And, you know, he says, expectant mothers are the most unpredictable creatures, sir. Have you no shame? I don't think you should opine on women's conditions.
You know what? Men anyone who is not the pregnant woman does that. Because I was going to say men do that, but I feel like women do that too. As soon as they find out you're pregnant, everything is because of the pregnancy. It's like sometimes it's because you were being obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like he was doing with asking, you know, he wasn't trying to be, but like,
it just happened.
Because, yeah, he asked for the salt, which was right there.
Mm-hmm.
He could have found the salt himself. Ricky's like, you know what? Because they're so unpredictable, they say that pregnant women and she is unpredictable like 3 or 4 times, maybe more or less. I should have counted, but there was a lot of unpredictables thrown into that very short period of time. And he was like, because she's being unpredictable, I'm just going to make it.
Because she's going to want it anyway.
Because she's going to want it in a minute or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you think she really wanted what you made her? Because they gave her a break.
Then she gets up the next morning. Ethel comes in. Ooh, fancy having breakfast in bed. And she's like, yeah, Fred.
This is all in the morning.
This is all in the morning. We're still here. We haven't left the apartment.
Yeah, no, but they went to bed and then they woke up.
And this is happening.
Right, so she didn't go to bed again. You said she went to sleep and woke up in the morning, but it's
been
the morning.
No. I guess what I was trying to say is she went to her bedroom and then.
Oh, okay.
No.
She didn't go to sleep again. Okay,
this woman hasn't rested. Has not rested.
Either. Anyways.
No, then Ethel comes in. She's like, oh, breakfast in bed. Because she's exiting her bedroom with the waffles waffle. And I'm putting that in air quotes.
One waffle. Covered in a white sheet to show everyone the death of this
like
waffle.
Like a quarter sheet. Yeah. Ricky and Fred came over to make me breakfast. Like, oh, that's nice. You know, how was the waffles? Well, would you like one? And she removes the death blanket. And there's a burnt, you know, waffle. And she says that Ricky said it was good. The coal is good for the baby's teeth.
I have heard that charcoal's good for upset stomachs. Have you heard that?
Not once.
Not like, like the burnt. So maybe charcoal, like the burnt stuff. Like I've heard that if you're upset, have an upset stomach, you should burn a piece of toast and then eat that. And I was like, just the thought of that makes me sick. Yeah, so it's like, so adding that on top of actually being sick just isn't gonna work.
Yeah, so
I'm the kind of person that if it's at all any type of black, I have to scrape it off. Like, this would be.
Ethel's like, I can't believe they served you that. You know, and he said, oh, this is the best one that they made. And so she's like, maybe there's a couple of dishes that they need to clean. This reminds us, of course, of job switching when they come back after that. You know, they switch roles and they're trying to make dinner. So they make a huge mess. That's what it looks like here. It looks like the kitchen exploded. And Ethel's like, you'd think they'd get like at least one good waffle.
A one-year-old free in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's a complete mess. And now pregnant Lucy has to clean it.
I would have made them clean it up.
Where'd they go? They just took off?
They just left to go get presents for the baby. But I was like, you made this mess. How did they open every single cabinet? Colin saw this. He was like, that's so exaggerated. I was like, yes, I know. And I would have been livid if anything ever looked like that. Like, but she's like, oh, it's the thought that counts. She's like, I'm not mad at them. And she starts cleaning up. And yeah, this is when she has a reason. She has an idea, right?
Yeah.
So Ethel's saying, wow, but he really loves you. Like, you can really tell. And all of a sudden, you know, Lucy first agrees. And then she goes, wait, he never did this before I got pregnant.
Before it was just me.
Yeah. Just me. So he obviously only loves the baby.
Yeah.
That's who he's doing all this for, the baby.
And I love the line, after the baby's born, I'll be just like salmon. I'll swim upstream, spawn, and never to be heard from again.
So dramatic, and I love it.
Spawn. Oh my gosh. And so she's like, you know, you're being crazy. This is, he's doing this because he loves you, not just because you have a baby. And so the next scene is there in the living room, and he comes home with presents, like you mentioned. And
poor Lucy.
She's like, oh, okay, here's where my ego boost comes in. Maybe I was being crazy. It's all about me. And it turns out he gives her a rattle, a bonnet, and a diaper.
no. not all about.
And they're out, you know, like, just what I've always wanted.
I feel like I can see both sides of this, right? So, like, getting treated differently because you're pregnant, even, like, good differently, can sometimes be like, all right, well, what was I to you before then, right?
You know what's interesting, though? We are both, as a couple, having this baby. It's not a baby shower. So the way that it's being gifted is a little bit, not cruel, but a little bit on the icky side. Because let's say he came home and goes, look, I just bought all this stuff for our baby, you know, or I found some clothes and stuff. Not present it like a gift. Just say,
right, to you, like, yeah,
I got the stuff for the baby. Don't wrap it up and surprise her, because it's our baby. So just come home with things and say, I bought this for the baby. But the way it's being presented, it kind of puts your hopes up and then dashes them, because it's not for you.
Exactly. So I can totally see that. And
yeah.
So and with all of that being said, predictable, whatever, there were many times when I was pregnant where I had to tell Colin, listen, I don't know why my emotions are being the way they are. Mm-hmm. Just ignore them, or like not ignore it, but like it doesn't make any sense, but like, let's just with it. So, well, when Ricky comes home first with the presents, right, before Lucy opens them, Ethel sees him, or she sees him walk in. She follows him in and she's like, where have you been? I need to tell you something. And she's in the middle of telling when Lucy comes in and she opens the presents. And this is when Ethel explains to Ricky, listen, Lucy's feeling like, you know, you really only love the baby and not so much her. And maybe you should do something to...
nice for her.
Yeah, for just mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. Not for...
there's nothing
know,
attached to the
to
baby.
To the baby. Mm-hmm. Which is a good idea, you know, like every once in a while, just be like, you... And so,
which reminds me of an episode of Friends. I'm not sure if you're a big Friends person.
I am.
Okay. But remember when Phoebe was pregnant and like she was also feeling all the things. And so the baby shower was made to shower her with gifts for her, which backfired because they gave her a pair of pants, leather like pants. She's like, oh, thanks. I can't even fit in it. But they were trying because she's so and, like
alcohol, because they gave her stuff that she could have like after, but like, yeah,
it just back. Listen, it's a tightrope you walk around pregnant women. It just is. Be yes, nice,
exactly. Yeah, be nice as you can, and understand that even
carrying
being
a whole
nice
human
will backfire. Yeah.
So she starts crying about the gifts, you know, and she goes into her room screaming. That's where you said she's explaining about why she's feeling the way she is. Do something for her. And here's the part that I love. And when I say love, I say like, I'm being sarcastic, because he's like, you know, take her out, you know, take her dining, take her dancing. Dancing in her condition, she's not disabled. She didn't lose legs, you know, and even if she did, take her out in a wheelchair, you know, and so she, you know, take her out dancing. She said, in her condition, what? Okay. So, you know, she says, okay, fine, we'll make it a whole thing. And I love that Ethel's like, do you want another couple to come along?
Just make it a happy foursome. And he goes, do you have anyone in mind?
We'd love to.
Love to. Next scene is Ethel and mm-hmm. Lucy, right?
Yeah.
And they're talking. I don't know what they're doing, actually. But they get Ethel brings in
it's an orchid.
Yeah. Orchid, yes.
Well, yeah, but first
I almost
don't know
said
what
orca,
it is.
And I was like, definitely not that.
Not bringing orca inside of the apartment. That's for a later one in Florida. And a whale. Was it a big fish? Big tuna fish in
yes.
Florida?
Yeah. Anyways, she brings in a present for Lucy, and she gets so excited, and she opens it up. She reads the little card, and then she goes, huh, I wonder who this is from.
Says, and it's signed from your lover.
Well, the first one says from Ricky.
Oh, okay, okay.
And, yeah. And but she goes, you know, I don't know
any other Ricky, and I know his any other Ricky.
Oh, well, that was the second one. So she says, I don't know, like, it can't be my Ricky. And that's when she gets the heart,
she's like,
chocolates,
wait,
right?
Yeah, no, but then she says, oh, it must be for the baby. And she's oh, like, yeah, you know and, it's for you.
Yeah, she's like, you know this is for you. She's just being a little bit extra now.
Then the delivery man shows up, which, of course, is Bennett Green. He's the delivery man. We know him as Desi and as the stand-in. I don't remember which episode it is, but we do have an episode in the beginning of our podcast that has a spotlight on Hazel Pierce and Bennett Green, which are Lucy and Desi's stand-in. So you see him a lot throughout the series. He comes in as the delivery person to deliver the candy now from Ricky.
Sweets from your suite or something like that. And from your lover boy. And that's when she says, you know, that line? It could be someone else, but I happen to recognize the handwriting and I don't know any other lover boy.
Imagine she's like heavily pregnant and someone's just
randomly writing her
lover boy.
And then on top of all of that, Ricky calls.
Yeah.
So this is when Ricky calls and he says it's lover boy.
Yeah. Hello.
I do like though that he asks her if she'd like to invite Fred and Ethel. Because they already planned on it, right? But like he doesn't say, and let's bring Fred and Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
He said, like, do you want to invite them? Which gives her the option to be like, no, I want it to
just us.
Mm-hmm. Just us, or you know, I know it would never be that way, but
yeah.
I thought in my mind that was nice. But he says, you know, come down, we'll do dinner, and then after I perform we can dance and stuff like that. And that's just really like brightens her whole mood, right? That's what she wants.
Yeah.
And so it's really great. And we get the next scene. We get to the club and they're having a great, great, great time.
Now they're all dancing. The conversation between Ethel and Fred. I mean, it's very aggressive. Now, what I notice is I don't remember this in the syndicated version. I do know, I mean, I see it here on, now that we have it on Paramount Plus, but I don't remember seeing it on television, this little exchange between them. So Fred is dancing and Ethel says, he puffs so much it's like dancing with a steam engine. And Fred says,
oh my gosh,
steam engines always puff when they're carrying a heavy load. And then Lucy asks him to stop bickering, and then Ethel's like, we're not bickering, that's how we make love. Now listen, this is a 1950s sitcom. Words don't always mean what they mean universally in, you know,
right,
2022. But it's just the aggressiveness of his exchange to her to the making love. It's just all kind of, I could see why it was all removed from the syndicated portion of this.
And you know what caught me off guard? I totally agree with what you just said. And another thing that caught me off guard was like, so when it first opens, right, they're all dancing,
mm-hmm.
and like they're laughing, they're smiling. They genuinely both couples look like they're having a good time. Yeah. And then we cut to the table and right off the bat, we hear that arguing. I was like, all right, you know.
Yeah, it lasted only for a little while. So then they start dancing. Now, I love when he sings Cheek to Cheek. This is a song that was written by Irving Berlin for the movie Top Hat. This is where I remember Cheek to Cheek from. Now, I do also remember it from I Love Lucy, but I am a huge fan of Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire films. I have Top Hat in a VHS form. And when he sings that and they do the dance throughout with Ginger Rogers, it is just so beautiful. If you have a chance to
I've never
watch.
Seen it.
Oh, you must. Any Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire movie.
Is that our next movie?
It may be, yeah, because Lucy does make a small appearance there.
Boom.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's the connection. But you know, I do love the Top Hat movie. So it was originally sung and danced by Fred Astaire, like I mentioned, Ginger Rogers, and Lucille Ball. She's blonde in this, makes a small uncredited, you know, role in that as a sales girl in a flower shop. The song was actually nominated for an Academy Award in 1936. So then Ricky is singing this in the at the club, and she's very happy. The song ends. Everyone's like, oh, you're having a wonderful time. Just what you needed. Just what the doctor ordered. Everything is great. Then they pan over to Lucy's face. She looks like depression has, you know, washed over her. And what's the matter? Oh, she's crying because she's so happy. Is that why you're crying?
No.
Why is she crying?
Because no one's mentioned the baby at all tonight.
You don't love.
No one loves. And
what
what
is
was
it?
the last
Is
name?
it
The last
Pierpont?
names were.
The Pierpont one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't love little Pierpont or Sharon.
They both look like they
I
all look at her like,
cannot.
what? And that's the end of that episode.
That's the
You
end
know,
of
I was like,
that.
they couldn't have ended it on the nice, like, dancing cheek to cheek. They couldn't have just ended it on a high note. They had to really.
Well,
But that's the unpredictable part of it, right? Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't
you
have.
really had to bookend the whole unpredictableness of everything. But that was funny. The name changes and all of that, just to end up a junior
With Ricky Jr.
I can't.
And we forgot to mention that Fred is still in this episode pushing for his name.
Well, eventually a dog will be named after him.
But
So there's that.
For not loving reasons, right?
Right.
For sly reasons.
Oh my God. But that's the episode of Pregnant Women Are Unpredictable. Now, the episode was named that. I'm guessing that when it was filmed, just because it wasn't allowed to be, you know, said on television or whatever, perhaps they just kept saying
Expectant women.
because I don't think that when the audience would come in that they would exactly tell them the title of episodes. I don't know. That would
They
be
might
interesting to
not.
know.
Like,
You're just watching a filming of it, but it'd be interesting to know if they knew what the names of these episodes were.
if
But
anyone knows that, let us know. That
I
is an
think,
interesting question.
Yeah. So with that, you can find us everywhere on havingaballpod@gmail.com, havingaballpodcast on Facebook and Instagram. And the next few ones are just very pregnancy related. So that'll be fun until she has the baby.
Yeah, I like these. Oh, and then one of our favorite episodes. I think they're both of one of our favorite. Is that your favorite episode? Is
when
she
she
has
goes
the
to the
baby?
hospital? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Okay. Well, then it's
Hey,
still
what's your
a few
favorite
weeks
episode,
away.
guys?
I'd like to know. And if you say the chocolate factory one, no.
The Vitamita Benjamin one.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.